From an environmental justice standpoint, what are some of the issues that you tend to watch out for in the aftermath of a disaster like the flooding that we saw from Hurricane Ida in Wilmington?
Well, you want to start with this notion that disaster vulnerabilities exist first as issues of environmental justice. So you want to think about what are the social and built infrastructure vulnerabilities that create environmental injustices. Those also exacerbate the impacts of extreme storms like the one that we just saw. For example, if housing has issues, then the recovery process from, you know, even further damaged housing is going to be more difficult. If people are poor and lack resources or adequate access to their jobs and other things, those are going to be exacerbated by these kinds of events. Not only do they create a day-to-day experience that is more challenging, but these disaster events are going to exacerbate that.
So with all of that in mind, do you think that the city and state are doing enough to ensure that residents of Wilmington who were impacted by the flooding can recover?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about specifically what the efforts have been. From what I've read, my understanding is that the communications about what to do, where to go, or how to access resources were confusing or not readily available. I do think that ultimately the emergency declaration and the evacuation to get people out was successful in that there were no deaths or injuries, but the lack of a robust evacuation plan that could have been implemented, it wasn't there. And so there's a lesson to be learned, and there's a real need for that. Now, that said, this storm was also historic in a lot of ways. But I do think that if these storms are becoming more frequent and the flooding is becoming more frequent and as bad as it is, this is absolutely high time to get a good sense of how to better prepare for this.
So we know that climate change makes heavy rains more frequent, and that can lead to flash flooding like we saw from Hurricane Ida. If indeed this is becoming more of a frequent reality for the city of Wilmington, what does the city and the state need to be doing to prepare to keep residents safe in the future and try to prevent material losses for them as well?
Well, you know, one of the main approaches, you can think about this in if you want to really sort of simplify it, you can think about it one of two ways. You either structurally mitigate, which is, you know, literally somehow recreating the built infrastructure to handle floodwaters. And in scenarios such as sea level rise and other things, there are a variety of ways to do that. In South Wilmington, a prominent example is, as of yet completed, if I understand it correctly, but a prominent example is the revitalized wetland that will hold stormwaters. The modeling for that, holding stormwaters and really alleviating some of the significant historical problems that Southbridge has had is very impressive. Now, you also have to keep in mind that structural mitigation is an opportunity to undo the inequalities that helped to create the vulnerable communities where environmental and disaster vulnerabilities exist that we saw unfold recently. What we shouldn't be doing is structurally mitigating in the future that will recreate inequalities either through displacement, what people call resilience gentrification. The other option is something like managed retreat. I mean, a basic question that we need to ask is, in communities that already face water issues, continue to face water issues, and as you mentioned, if these water issues are going to get worse in the future, when does it make sense to, and what does that even mean to really, you know, start a process of managed retreat? People are going to lose historical roots, culture, attachment to place, et cetera. At its core, managed retreat is meant to really be a cost-effective way of dealing with future climate change impact issues, reducing, coming from the work of A.R. Siders, a colleague of mine at the Disaster Research Center, quote, reducing the cost of future emergency response. So, you know, at what point does it make sense to try and think seriously about something like that when we have these events happening more frequently and with more severity in these communities?
Are there any examples of this kind of planning that has gone well? Some planning that you were mentioning there, you know, we don't want to recreate the inequities that are present in the current systems. Do you know of any examples where the community was involved in designing a solution to flood risk and things basically turned out better on the other side?
Oh, gosh. there were a couple of communities in Brooklyn that were slated for, you know, greening. And the community got involved very early because they were worried about displacement, got involved very early. And there were, I think, you know, some reasonable outcomes on both ends in terms of revitalization, greening, but also really giving back to the community in which those things were happening. Most of the examples of at least greening as an aspect of structural mitigation in urban, you know, coastal areas tend to suggest that the communities don't fare as well as you would think. The communities don't benefit necessarily from the greening in a long-term sense because of displacement issues. But if you can mitigate floodwaters relatively quickly, of course people don't want, you know, the community to flood anymore. They don't want basements, you know, with flood water and losing washers and dryers and so on. Of course, they don't want that anymore. But it has to be tailored in a way so that affordable housing, rent control, community land trusts, and a variety of other factors came into play very early on through community involvement to prevent the negative aspects of a creation of different types of inequalities. So no longer are people dealing necessarily with inequality that created flood situations and environmental injustices. Now they're dealing with social inequalities created by the solution.
That paints kind of a grim picture. Is there any, I guess, suggestions you can give for the city of Wilmington or the state as they're starting to potentially think about these things that could try to avoid these negative externalities to the solutions?
So one thing that I would argue, you know, is necessary is much deeper communication with the communities that are being affected. I know that there is outreach and I know that there are presentations from time to time, these sorts of things, but it just isn't adequate. There needs to be robust, transparent community involvement from the very beginning. We can't be talking about affordable housing, for example, in structural mitigation, you know, after the newspaper article comes out about the development. You should have been talking about it years ago. So that said, there are some principles for just disaster recovery that I think are helpful in a general sense for any sort of community that has both social and environmental vulnerabilities that can be exacerbated in these disaster scenarios. And basically, it's government assistance has to be timely. It has to be easy to understand and accessible. Now, if I'm reading some of the news articles recently correctly, these things didn't happen in the recent event. The second principle is temporary housing needs to be made available for everyone that allows you to reconnect to family or and pets and whatever the important networks are that you have so that your social capital isn't torn apart. The third of these principles is that anybody displaced needs to be able to access needed resources and rebuilding in a way that also allows for getting back to your jobs. And if your jobs were in the community, some sort of, you know, wage replacement or some sort of way to work for wages. And then involvement, having a say in policy decisions that are transparent, using these disaster events as ways to not necessarily, you know, provide a clean slate, but to learn from the past in creating the vulnerabilities that they did and undo them in the rebuilding process. And so rebuild in ways that create equity for the future and create, you know, a just recovery for the future.
Victor Perez of the University of Delaware's Disaster Research Center, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.